यत्रानुरक्ताः सहसैव धीरा व्यपोह्य देहादिषु सङ्गमूढम् प्रजन्ति तत्पारमहं समन्त्यम् यस्मिन्नहिंसोपशमस्वधर्मः यत्रानुरक्ताः सहसैव धीरा व्यपोह्य देहादिषु सङ्गमूढम् प्रजन्ति तत्पारमहं समन्त्यम् यहिमिन्नहिंसोपशमस्वधर्म. Mataji's word-to-word meaning, yatra, unto whom, anuraktaha, firmly attached, sahasa, all of a sudden, eva, certainly, dhira, self-controlled, vyapohya, leaving aside, deha, the gross body and the subtle mind, adishu, related to, relating to, sangam, attachment, udam, taken to, vrijanti, go away, tat, that, paramahamsyam, the highest stage of perfection, antyam, and beyond that, yasmin, in which, ahimsa, non-violence, upashamaha, and renunciation, swadharmaha, consequential occupation. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Self-controlled persons who are attached to the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna can all of a sudden give up the world of material attachment, including the gross body and the subtle mind, and go away to attain the highest perfection of the renounced order of life, by which non-violence and renunciation are consequential. Purport. Only the self-controlled can gradually be attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Self-controlled means not indulging in sense enjoyment more than is necessary. And those who are not self-controlled are given over to sense enjoyment. Dry philosophical speculation is a subtle sense enjoyment of the mind. Sense enjoyment leads one to the path of darkness. Those who are self-controlled can make progress on the path of liberation from the conditional life of material existence. The Vedas therefore enjoin that one should not go to the path of darkness, but should make a progressive march towards the path of liberation. Self-control is actually achieved not by artificially stopping the senses from sense enjoyment, but by becoming factually attached to the Supreme Lord, by engaging one's unalloyed senses in the transcendental service of the Lord. The senses cannot be forcibly curbed, but they can be given proper engagement. Purified senses, therefore, are always engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. This perfectional stage of sense engagement is called Bhakti Yoga. So those who are attached to the means of Bhakti Yoga are factually self-controlled and can all of a sudden give up their homely or bodily attachment for the service of the Lord. This is called the Paramahamsa stage. Hamsas or swans accept only milk out of a mixture of milk and water. Similarly, those who accept the service of the Lord instead of Maya's service are called the Paramahamsas. They are naturally qualified with all the good attributes such as pridelessness, freedom from vanity, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, respectability, worship, devotion and sincerity. All these godly qualities exist in the devotee of the Lord spontaneously. Such Paramahamsas who are completely given up to the service of the Lord are very rare. They are very rare even amongst the liberated souls. Real non-violence means freedom from envy. In this world, everyone is envious of his fellow being. But a perfect Paramahamsa, being completely given up to the service of the Lord, is perfectly non-envious. He loves every living being in relation with the Supreme Lord. Real renunciation means perfect dependence on God. every living being is dependent on someone else because he is so made. Actually, everyone is dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Lord, but when one forgets his relation with the Lord, he becomes dependent on the conditions of material nature. Renunciation means renouncing one's dependence on the conditions of material nature and thus becoming completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Real independence means complete faith in the mercy of the Lord without dependence on the conditions of matter. This Paramahamsa stage is the highest perfectional stage in Bhakti Yoga. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Agrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So this is a very wonderful verse, a very sweet chapter, and a very powerful purport. So what we will do is I'll do a quick recap of what has happened till now in this chapter so that we can understand the context in which this verse has been spoken. So in the previous chapter, Srila Suta Goswami described about how Parikshit Maharaj gave punishment and reward to Kali. But he did not kill him. He did not kill Kali, which is very strange, because the presence of Kali was going to create havoc for the next 432,000 years, the whole of Kali. And he had the capacity to kill Kali. But interestingly, he spared him by just chastising him. So, he had mentioned about how Parikshit Maharaj had punished Kali and did not kill him, and he gave him some reward also towards the end. So, Suta Goswami, in this chapter, he summarizes the birth, activities and passing away of Parikshit Maharaj very shortly. Very briefly about the glorious nature of Parikshit Maharaj's birth, activities and passing away. So Suta Goswami says, actually Parikshit Maharaj was burned up in the womb of his mother, but somehow Krishna entered the womb of Uttara and protected Parikshit Maharaj. Such was the glory of his birth. And how glorious was his activities, his living in this world? He did not become bewildered when he was cursed to die in 7 days by Sringi. So, he was not at all bewildered. He immediately took shelter of the Lord and lived the rest of his life. How did he leave his body? He immediately accepted Shukadeva Goswami as his guru. He gave up all material association, heard Bhagavatam from him, realized the Lord, gave up his body, went back to the spiritual world. In three verses, he summarizes birth, activities and passing away of Parikshit Maharaj. But how could in 7 days such a personality who had everything at his beck and call, who was the Ekarat, the unquestioned emperor of the whole world, how could he give up everything immediately and so peacefully leave his body? Suta Goswami says, Nottama shloka vartanam jushatam tat katamritam syat sambramo antakalepi smaratam tat padambujam. So he says, smaratam tat padambujam. What is the general principle? Those who remember the lotus feet of the Lord, those who are used to remembering the lotus feet of the Lord, jushatam tat katamritam, and those who are absorbed in hearing his pastimes, uttama shloka vartanam, and those whose lives are dedicated to serving the Supreme Lord, antakalepi na sambramahasyat, even at the time of death they will not be bewildered, when death is the most bewildering time of anyone's life. Like this morning, you know, all our devotees have gone for the final rites of our Brahmachari's father, who passed away last night, Swarup Damodar Anand Prabhu's father. Right? It's not very easy time for even those who are connected to that person. For others, he is just one of the persons to whom they are connected to. But for him, practically all of the people and property and objects and places, everything that he is connected to, in one moment will be gone. So it's not an easy situation. But smaratam tat padambujam, for one who has lived his life remembering the lotus feet of Krishna, jushatam tat katamritam, for one who has dedicated his life relishing the nectarian pastimes of Krishna, uttama shloka vartanam, and for one who has dedicated his life to serving Krishna, antakalepi na sambramahasyat, even at the time of death he will not be bewildered. That was the situation of Parikshit Maharaj. So how could he remember Krishna and go? As Krishna says, antakalecha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram ya prayati samadbhavam yati nastyatra samshayah. Whoever remembers me at the time of death will attain me. How did Parikshit Maharaj, if Parikshit Maharaj had attained Krishna, he must have remembered Krishna. How could Parikshit Maharaj remember Krishna at the time of death, when it is the most bewildering time of one's life? Because smaratam tat padambujam. He lived his life remembering Krishna's lotus feet. He lived his life jushatam tat katamritam, hearing Krishna katha. And he dedicated his life to service of Krishna. So, therefore, the way you live is the way you leave the body. That is why when Krishna says, antakalecha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram, after that he says, tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhyacha. Therefore, at all times you remember me and fight. That's what Krishna says. Because what you practice while you live is what you will achieve while you leave. Right? So, this was the case of Parikshit Maharaj. How is it that Parikshit Maharaj at the time of death was very peaceful and not at all agitated? Because that's how he lived his life. Okay. So, after Parikshit Maharaj punished Kali, what was the situation? What was the situation after Parikshit Maharaj punished Kali? Tavat kalir na prabhavet pravishto piha sarvataha yavat isho mahan urvyam abhimanyava ekarat. As long as Parikshit Maharaj was the king of earth, Kali could not exert his influence at all. So Kali could not exert his influence at all as long as Parikshit Maharaj was there. But Kali had entered right on that day when Krishna left his manifest pastimes. When Krishna completed his manifest pastimes, since that day, Kali entered. But Kali could not make any inroads, serious inroads, as long as Parikshit Maharaj was ruling. Okay. So, what was the mood of Parikshit Maharaj, having punished Kali? He has already punished Kali, decided to spare him, decided not to kill him. Why he did not kill Kali? So, Suta Goswami says, Nanudveshti Kalim Samrat Sarangaiva Sarabuk Kushalani Ashu Siddhyanti Netarani Kritaniyat. Because Parikshit Maharaj was a Sarabuk. He was like a honeybee. He exactly knew how to extract the essence of everything. He was a Saragrahi Vaishnava. So therefore, Na Anudveshti Kalim Samrat. Parikshit Maharaj did not envy Kali, he did not want to kill Kali and get rid of Kali. Why? Saranga Iva Sarabuk. Because he understood the essence of the situation. What was the essence? Kushalani Ashu Siddhyanti Netarani Kritaniyat. Kali came with its own advantages. The age of Kali had its own advantages. Kalim Sabajayante Hyarya Bunagya Sarabhagina Yatra Sankirtaneva Sarva Swartobi Labyate. The 11th canto, the Namayogendra say that the knowers of the essence of all scriptures, they glorify the age of Kali. Kalim Sabajayante Hyarya Gunagya, those who understand the real nature of Kali, Sarabhagina, those who enjoy the essence or those who are the essence seekers, Sarangaiva Sarabuk, same thing. Sarabhagina, Sarabuk, same thing. So the Sarabhaginas, what is their approach towards Kali? Na Anudveshti. They did not hate Kali. They did not want to kill Kali, Parikshit Maharaj. Why? Because Kali came with its own advantages. Yatra Sankirtanenaiva Sarva Swartobi Labhyate. Just by Sankirtan, one can achieve all perfection only in the age of Kali. Kaler Doshan De Rajan Astihi Eko Mahan Gunaha Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Vrajet. And Sarabhagina also indicates that Parikshit Maharaj knew that this was the plan of Krishna. This is the plan of Krishna. This is the arrangement of Krishna. The cyclic existence of these four ages. It is plan of Krishna. As an emperor is a representative of Krishna. So he is there to execute Krishna's plan. Sarabhagina. He understood the essence. Every age has its role to play. The most important thing, Kushalani Ashu Siddhyanti Netarani Kritaniyat. He understood this, that in the age of Kali, pious activities need not be actually performed to get the result of that pious activity. If only one desires to perform that pious activity, the result is attained. But impious activities, how much ever one may think about performing, even though that thinking may eventually push them to perform, but somehow by good association, if they end up not performing, as long as they don't perform, there is no result. This is only the exclusive advantage of Kali. Kushalani Ashu Siddhyanti Netarani Kritaniyat. Sarangaiva Sarabuk. He understood. the essence. So therefore, he did not kill Kali because that was not the plan of Krishna. And also, he had another trump card. Why he did not really kill Kali? Kimnu Baleshu Shurena Kalina Dhira Biruna Apramatta Pramatteshu Yo Vrukon Rishu Vartate. So Kali is compared to an Apramattaha Vrukaha. A very attentive tiger, just ready to pounce on whom? Pramatteshu Nrishu. He is ready to pounce on the inattentive men. So therefore, it's not good. But Kimnu Shurena Kalina Baleshu Dhira Biruna. But how can such a Kali attack the innocent people as long as the devotees are there? Because Kali is Dhira Biruna. He is afraid of the devotees. So Kali is afraid of the devotees. So Parikshit Maharaj, on the strength of the presence of devotees, he was confident that compassionate devotees will take care of the innocent. Ishvare tadadineshu balisheshu dvishastucha prema maitri kripa upeksha yakkaroti samadhyama. That is the nature of a devotee. Ishvare prema tadadineshu maitri balisheshu kripa dvishatsu upeksha. Right? So, that is his nature. He has love towards Krishna, friendship with the other devotees, and compassion towards the innocent. So as long as devotees are there, their compassion will flow towards the innocent, and as long as the innocent are recipients of a devotee's compassion, Kali cannot touch them. Right? So therefore, he was confident. Therefore, he did not want to kill Kali. Okay. Kirata hunandra pulinda pulkasha abira shumba yavanaha kasadayaha. Yenyecha papa yadapashraya shreha shudyanti tasmai prabhavishnave namaha. So all these various kinds of sinful people, what to speak of innocent people, even these kind of sinful people, yadapashraya ashraya, if they take shelter of Krishna, if they take shelter of the devotees who have taken shelter of Krishna, shudyanti, they become purified of the influence of Kali, of the influence of their own anarthas, which Kali capitalizes on. Right? So, therefore, Parikshit Maharaj was confident that as long as this earth, the planet earth, has the presence of devotees, the devotees' compassion will protect the innocent from the influence of Kali. So therefore, he did not really try to kill Kali. It was plan of Krishna. So, then Suta Goswami continues. He says, Upavarnitam etadvaha punyam parikshitam maya vasudeva katopetam akyanam yada pritchata. My dear Shaunakadi Rishis, you had requested me to speak about Parikshit Maharaj. Punyam parikshitam. So, you had punyam parikshitam akhyanam. You had requested me to speak about the life and activities of, you know, the glorious Parikshit Maharaj. I have spoken it. Why? Vasudeva katopetam. Only because it is related to the pastimes of Krishna. Like we discussed this in one of our previous sessions. This is the uniqueness of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because in the beginning of that Krishna Katha only, the very first time when Shaunakadi Rishis requested Suta Goswami to speak about Parikshit Maharaj's life, they told, Tat Katyata Mahabhaga Yadi Krishna Katashrayam Atava Asya Padamboja Makaranda Liham Satam. My dear Suta Goswami, yes, we are indeed very eager to hear about the life of Parikshit Maharaj, but you may choose to speak about it only if it is Yadi Krishna Katashrayam, only if it takes shelter of Krishna Katha, only if it's related to Krishna Katha. Atava Asya Padamboja Makaranda Liham Satam, or it should be connected to those devotees who are very absorbed in licking the honey which is emanating from the lotus feet of Krishna. Either it should be connected to Krishna Katha or it should be connected to Bhagavat Katha. Only then you speak, otherwise don't speak. We are not interested in hearing some historical narrations. And after having narrated the whole thing, now Suta Goswami is giving them confidence. You have no reason to feel guilty that, oh, have we just enjoyed some story which has no connection with Krishna? No. Vasudeva Katopetam. It is definitely connected to Krishna. So therefore we were seeing that this is the unique glory of Srimad Bhagavatam. Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshana mutaya manvantaresha anukata nirodho muktirashraya. There are 10 topics which are spoken in all the Puranas. But in Bhagavatam, dashamasya vishuddhyartam navanam iha lakshanam varnayante mahatmanah shrutena artena cha anjasa. So only in Srimad Bhagavatam, all the other 9 topics are systematically presented in such a way that it enhances one's attraction to the 10th topic of Ashraya, which is Krishna. In the other literatures, this kind of a consistent purpose is not there. You know, sarga, visarga, sthanam, poshanam may be discussed in the other literatures, but not always in close connection with Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna or the qualities of Krishna. So Bhagavatam is unique. Kalimala samhati kalano akilesho harir itaratra na giyatehi abhikshnam. Iha tu punar bhagavan ashesha murtihi paripatito anupadam kata prasangaihi. 12th canto, it is mentioned again, the same point is again and again re-emphasized, that harir itaratra na giyatehi abhikshnam. In the other literatures other than Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Hari is not consistently glorified. There is no consistent glorification. Iha tu, but here in this book of Bhagavatam, Bhagavan Ashesha Murtihi Paripatito Anupadam Kata Prasangaihi. Through various pretexts, the Supreme Lord is only glorified again and again and again in every syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam. Whether we may see it immediately or not, whether it may be evident to the reader immediately or not, even in narrations where the Vamshavalis are described, where the names of various kings are described, we may wonder, how is it going to inspire my Krishna consciousness? But it will. We may not understand. Right? So therefore here Suta Goswami is giving that confidence to the Shaunakadi Rishis that don't worry. Vasudeva Katopetam. It is definitely related to the pastimes of Krishna. And those who desire their own benefit should hear these topics concerning the qualities and actions of Krishna. So at this point of time, Shaunakadi Rishis, they ask a question to Suta Goswami. They say, Suta Jiva Samasaumya Shashvatir Vishadam Yashaha Yastvam Shamsasi Krishnasya Martyanam Amritam Hinaha. Suta Saumya, O auspicious Suta, Jiva Shashvati Samaha, may you live for unlimited number of years. Why? Yastvam Naha Shamsasi Krishnasya Amritam Vishadam Yashaha. Because you are narrating to us Krishna's shining glories which bestow Amrita, deathlessness amongst Martyanam, amongst us who are bound to die. So therefore may you live long enough, because as long as you live. So Jiva Shashvati Sama can be a blessing, or it can be a description. If hearing Krishna Katha is going to give Amrita, then speaking Krishna Katha is definitely going to give Amrita, right? Because Vasudeva Katha Prashna Lokan Streen Punatihi. Vaktaram Pritchakam Shrotrim Tatpada Salilam Yata. So there are three kinds of people who get benefited by Krishna Katha. Vakta, Pritchaka, the speaker, the inquirer, and Shrotri, the hearer. But of the three, Vakta gets the maximum benefit. Why? Because Vakta cannot speak without being thoughtful. The Shrotri can, need not be thoughtful. He need not be hearing also. Right? So, he can afford to not hear. Okay? But Vakta, when he speaks, automatically, if one is not thoughtful, one cannot speak. Like that. So, if we hearers are going to live, are going to transcend the mortal world by hearing Krishna Katha, Suta, Jiva Shashwati Sama, means you will live eternally by speaking Krishna Katha. That is also another meaning. Karmani Asmin Anashwase Dhuma Dhumratmanan Bhavan Apayati Govinda Pada Padmasamam Madhu. But Suta Goswami may say, I will not take much of your time because you have your, you know, your sacrifices to perform for which you have assembled here, right? So they say, Karmani Asmin Anashwase Dhuma Dhumratmanan Bhavan. Asmin Anashwase Karmani, in this uncertain sacrifice in which we do not know whether we will get the proper result or not. We are not sure if we have pronounced all the mantras properly. Even if we have pronounced all the mantras properly, I can be sure about myself only. I cannot be sure of the others. Because a sacrifice has an Advaryu, a Hota, a Udgata, a Brahma, and then it has a Yajaman. All of them have to do their roles perfectly. I can give guarantee about myself only. I cannot give guarantee about others. I cannot give guarantee about the ingredients that are used in the sacrifice. So what have we gained? We have gained only black soot on our faces, having performed the sacrifice for such a long time. In one sense, we have lost faith in this. Apayati Govinda Pada Padmasamam Madhu. Please make us drink the intoxicating nectar of the lotus feet of Govinda. That's what we are interested in. So here, they are very explicitly expressing their change of faith. You know, from Karma Shraddha to Bhakti Shraddha. This transition is very explicitly presented here by Shaunakadi Rishis. They had actually come there to perform sacrifices on the, you know, karma sacrifices only, not devotional sacrifice. But by the association of Suta Goswami, they were transformed now. That their faith has transformed. That is why they say, no need, we are not going to perform this sacrifice. We have only, all that we have gained is only black soot on our faces. This does not mean that sacrifices are useless. All this means is that their qualification has changed. So, what it means is practice should be in conjunction with one's qualification. Tavat karmani kurvita na nirvidyeta yavata matkata shravanadavva shraddha yavanna jayate. So, one has to perform all these kinds of sacrifices which fall within the category of varna and ashrama. Only as long as one has neither developed an attraction for the path, a qualification for the path of jnana, which is nirvit, a kind of detachment from this material world, or matkata shravanadavva shraddha, or faith in the practice of bhakti. So, therefore, what they are expressing is not that suddenly they have figured out that these sacrifices are of no use. It's just that they have figured out that their qualification has changed in the association of Suta Goswami. So therefore, they say that, you know, Apayeti Govinda Pada Padmasamam Madhu. Had they known this in the beginning only, they would not have started this sacrifice. It's not about knowing. It's about developing faith. Knowledge is different from faith. That is why you cannot convince people just by quoting something from the books. Because first thing, for that they should have faith in those books as a bona fide pramana for themselves. So if they don't have faith in the pramana, they will not accept our proofs, right? So now in the association of Suta Goswami, they didn't need any further proof. They were, the transformation of faith was evident in their choice of actions which they wanted to perform, in the choice of their occupation which they wanted to perform. They no longer felt, Jata Shraddho Matkatasu Nirvinna Sarva Karmasu. They had developed Nirvit towards Sarva Karma, all these kinds of karma. And they had developed Jata Shraddho Matkatasu. Apayayati Govinda Pada Padmasamam Madhu. So here is a clear indication of the transformation of faith of Shaunakadi Rishis. Right? So, therefore, in the amongst these four categories of people who surrendered to Krishna, Artho Artharthi Jigyasu Jnani, Shaunakadi Rishis are mentioned to be in the category of Jigyasu. So Jigyasu, Artho Artharthi Jigyasu, all three of them have Karma Shraddha. Actually Karma Mishra Bhakti Shraddha. Okay, faith in Bhakti mixed with Karma. But in the association of Shukadev Suta Goswami, they said, keep this aside, just speak Krishna Katha. Like that. So, and then, what is the symptom of that Shraddha? Symptom of that Shraddha is understanding the importance of Sadhu Sangha. Adav Shraddha, Tata Sadhu Sangha. So, in the very next verse, they say, Tulayama Lavenapi Naswargam Napunarbhavam Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya Martyanam Kimutashishah. So, the power of association, of even a moment's association with devotee, cannot be compared to even the perfection of practice of karma, which is swarga, or the perfection of jnana, which is liberation. Because by that moment's association of a devotee, one will get that bhaktionmukhi sukriti, which will take one towards prema, which is a building block for prema, the highest goal. But compared to that, even the highest attainment of the practice of karma and jnana, which is swarga or liberation, is incomparable. Then, appreciation of sadhu sangha then naturally leads to appreciation of bhajana kriya. Right? Adav shraddha tata sadhu sangha ata bhajana kriya. Right? So, in the next verse they say, Ko nama tripye rasavit katayam mahattamekanta parayanasya nantam gunanam agunasya jagmur yogeshwaraye bhavapada bhavapadma mukhya. So they say that who is that person who has developed this faith? Rasavit. Who is that person who is the knower of rasa, who could be satisfied with hearing the topics of the Lord? Konama tripyed rasavit katayam. Mahattama ekanta parayanasya. Whose kata? Kata of that person who is the ekanta parayana of Mahattama. Who is the sole supreme shelter of all the devotees. Who can be satisfied? So we are not satisfied. Please speak Krishna kata. So then they say, Tanno bhavanvai bhagavat pradano mahattamekanta parayanasya hare rudaram charitam vishuddham shushrushatamno vitanotu vidvan. You are vidvan. You are vidvan. and we are shushrushu. We are shushrushus. This is a very good combination. You are an expert in speaking the subject matter, and we are very eager to understand the subject matter. And on top of that, you are Bhagavat Pradhanaha. Your life is dedicated to prominently serving the Supreme Lord. And so, therefore, I think you are very qualified to speak, and we are very qualified to hear. So, again and again, this will be stated by all the hearers. They will say that you are the best person to speak and we are the best persons to hear. You are Vidwan, we are Shushrushus. Now, what is the qualification of the hearer? Eagerness to hear. So, in the second canto also, Shaunakadi Rishi speak to Suta Goswami. They say, Etat Shushrushatam Vidwan, Sutanor Hasi Bhashitum, Kata Harikatodarka Satam Sihu Satasi Dhruvam. So again they say the same thing. There must have been lot of Harikata further which must have happened between Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. So can you please speak about it? Because you are Vidwan, you are expert in the subject matter, and we are Shushrushus. We are very eager to hear the subject matter. So, and then they say, Parikshit Maharaj, this subject matter is so pure that Parikshit Maharaj heard the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam and attained liberation. So, therefore, please tell us all about what was the conversation that happened between Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadeva Goswami, in which there is descriptions of the astonishing process of bhakti, which is very dear to the devotees, and it was very dear to Parikshit Maharaj also. So, after they expressed this desire to Suta Goswami, Suta Goswami, he reflects on his fortune. He thinks, how is it possible that I have become so fortunate to have received this subject matter from Shukadeva Goswami? So, he says, Aho vayam janma brutodhyahasma vriddhanu vrityapi viloma jataha daushkulyamadim vidunoti shigram mahattamanam abhidana yogaha. So, he says, viloma jata. I was born of a mixed caste. Pratiloma marriage. So, no material qualification. Vayam janma bruta ha asma. But my life has become successful now. How? Vriddhanu vritya. Because I followed Shukadeva Goswami. So my life has become successful. Mahattamanam abhidana yoga. So someone may say, what success? You are still Suta only, no? You are still of a mixed birth only. You know, has your Dushkula changed? Have you become a Brahmana all of a sudden? You are still, your father mother has not changed. You know, you are still of a Pratiloma marriage only. So, what has changed really? Someone may say. So, he says, Mahattamanam Abhidana Yogaha, glorification of great devotees, Shigram Vidunoti, it quickly destroys Daushkulyam Adhim. Adhim means pains and the disadvantages of Daushkulya, of a low birth. The mental pains of a low birth are destroyed, or whatever is the concomitant suffering that one has to go through due to the low birth, it gets destroyed by bhakti. So, but someone may say, how can bad birth be destroyed without the destruction of prarabdha karma? And how can prarabdha karma be destroyed without that person giving up his body? It is not possible. Right? So, Suta Goswami says, Kuta punar grinato namatasya mahattam ekanta parayanasya. So, third time. Again, mahattam ekanta parayanasya. Again and again. You know, in 4 verses, 3 times he repeats the same thing. Second line is same. Meaning Krishna is the only shelter of the devotees. So if someone becomes a devotee, then daushkulyam adim shigram vidunoti. Because Krishna is the shelter. They are not under the shelter of karma. They are under the shelter of Krishna. So he says, what doubt is there about this? Grinato nama, for one who chants the holy name of the Supreme Lord, Mahat Gunatvad, he bestows unlimited qualities to the devotees, and the Lord is addressed as Ananta Shakti. He has unlimited energies. And the Acharyas say, you know what is one of those energies? One of those energies is Prarabdha Nashaka Shakti. That which destroys Prarabdha Karma of the devotees, those who take shelter of Krishna. Because the Lord has unlimited energies, one of those energies certainly will destroy Prarabdha Karma. Because he gives his qualities to his devotees, the devotees call him unlimited. So the Lord shares his qualities with the devotees. Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavatya Kinchana Sarvair Gunais Tatra Samasate Suraha. So Suraha, even though may refer to demigods, but the argument is that if the worshippers of Krishna get only the qualities of the demigods, then what is so great about that? Because even the worshippers of demigods get those qualities. So here the meaning of Sarvair Gunais Tatra Samasate Suraha means they get all the qualities of Krishna, who is the Lord of all the demigods. So when they receive the qualities of Krishna, then how can Prarabdha Karmas remain in such a devotee? Right? So, therefore, we will quickly end with this particular discussion, that how bhakti, even though the common understanding is that once Prarabdha Karma can be destroyed only with the destruction of the body, but this does not apply to the devotees. Okay. This common understanding does not apply to the devotees. So, Srila Rupa Goswami, in the very beginning of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when he talks about Kleshagni, he talks about how one aspect of Kleshagni is Prarabdha Haratvam. How bhakti destroys Prarabdha Karma, not through death, but while living only. Right? Yannamadeya Shravananu Kirtanad Yap Prakhvanad Yat Smaranad Api Kvachit Shvadopi Sadhyah Savanaya Kalpate Kutap Punaste Bhagavannu Darshanad. Okay. So he says that a person, just by Shravana, Anukirtana, or Prakhvana, Prakhvana means to offer obeisances, Smaranat or even remembrance, by either one of these things, Shvadopi Sadhyah Savanaya Kalpate, a dog eater immediately becomes qualified to perform the sacrifices which are allowed only for Brahmanas. So now, of course, this just means that all the good qualities of a Brahmana immediately manifest in that dog eater. That does not mean that he can immediately start performing those Vedic sacrifices, because for those Vedic sacrifices, he needs to learn those Vedic mantras from a very young age and all that. So, and certain samskaras may be needed. So not that he is recommended to perform those sacrifices, but just that Srila Jiva Goswami says that the respect that is appropriate for that Brahmana should be given to that Shwada, for that meat eater, for that dog eater. So, the purpose of this verse is not to advocate his immediate performance of sacrifices, not that he should be immediately performing. Therefore, if he wants to perform Vedic sacrifices, which in itself is a question mark, because those who have Bhakti Shraddha, they don't wish to perform these kinds of Vedic sacrifices. So this is a very hypothetical proposition. Yes, you are qualified, but you will say, no thanks. I have my rounds to chant. I have my deity worship. So, like that. So, anyways, But one might ask, how can you say that the prarabdha karma is destroyed? He still has the same body. Srila Jiva Goswami says, sinful reactions due to bad birth in the form of acquisition of bad qualities and suffering are removed immediately. Okay. But birth itself cannot be changed from one parent to another. That cannot be done. But bad qualities are definitely destroyed by bhakti. Okay. So such a low-born practitioner of bhakti does not perform sacrifices not because of lack of qualification, but because he has no faith in them, as he is endowed with faith in pure bhakti. So then the question arises, if practice of bhakti removes suffering, then why do I see devotees also suffering? Right? So, even though I wish to speak on this topic, but time is up. So, in essence, I will summarize it in two sentences, that devotee's suffering is clearly not due to prarabdha karma. It is directly given by Krishna. So, devotee's suffering is due to two reasons. One is either Krishna given to pull that devotee closer to his lotus feet, or it is due to their own commission of offenses. Okay. So, yasyaham anugrinami harishyetat danam shanaihi, tato adanam tejantyasya swajana dukkha dukkitam. So, if Krishna says, if I especially favor someone, I take his wealth away, and when I take his wealth away, his relatives will abandon him. When his relatives will abandon him, then he will realize, what am I doing? I had decided to dedicate my life taking shelter of Krishna. You know, now Krishna has very kindly shown that all these false shelters are useless. And then he again takes shelter. So, therefore Bhagavatam says, Bhavadutta Shubha Ashubayoho, in terms of our devotees, Shubha Ashubha, the commonly observed so-called auspicious and inauspicious things in the form of happiness and suffering for the devotees is given by Krishna. Of course, this is a long discussion, maybe some other session we will take. Why Krishna actually has to give suffering to his devotees, what is accomplished by giving sufferings, we may discuss it one time. But only one thing, but it looks the same, like, you know, Prabhuji, before coming to Krishna consciousness, you know, I had such and such disease. Now, after coming to Krishna consciousness, that disease is continuing. So, this proves that karma is not gone. So, the answer is, I mean, this is not a very, very difficult thing to understand also. Even in material world, let's say, Radha Gopinath temple owns many vehicles. You know, let's say an Innova vehicle. Okay. So, one Innova gets older. So, they want to sell it off. So, they sell it off to the neighbor. The neighbor is willing to purchase. Okay. So, the neighbor purchases it and it is that same Innova is standing in the same parking space. Okay. Same Innova, same nameplate, same seat, same steering, same fuel, everything. But it does not belong to Radha Gopinath temple anymore. It belongs to someone else. So, karma is an invisible agent. We know that karma is acting on us only because of Shabda Praman. Isn't it? It is not Pratyaksha. Krishna's hands are also based on Shabda Praman only. It's not Pratyaksha. So, we are talking about two invisible agents. Right? Just like the owner's, you know, documents are invisible inside the car. Unless you open that whatever and take that and read that document, you will not know who to whom the car belongs. So, yes, devotees may suffer. And when the other person purchases the car, he may choose to retain some things. He may choose to repaint the car. He may choose to change the seat covers, the color of the seat covers. He may even decide that I will add some CNG also to this. That is his choice. He may choose to not do anything, use it as it is also. So similarly, when devotees take up to Krishna consciousness, the argument that I still see the same kind of suffering continuing, it is just like telling what is so difficult in understanding, right? Once you sell the car, does not mean overnight it becomes a different looking car. It still looks the same. So Krishna may choose to change the cover, change the paint, or he may choose to not change anything at all. So just like we understand the law of karma through shabda only and not through pratyaksha, we can accept that Krishna's dominion over a devotee through shabda praman, right? So we can't try to understand this through pratyaksha, because we have to remember the first acceptance of karma was based on shabda only. So we cannot argue based on pratyaksha. We have to depend on shabda only. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.